Welcome. Another after the gym fun session. A bit later for me today, I ended up seeing an old friend of a friend that I married, matter of factly. So that was cool. I was getting older and realizing I really do prefer the relationships and good quality time with people where just you're chilling. Because this really brings me to the topic of today. Topic of today is the fucking nonsense that is customer service. And I'm using the word fucking because it's, I think for me, one of the callings in life or an area of extreme interest is good service and just memorable experiences, creating those things. And in a way, right, that is something I did experience at Starbucks. Starbucks seeks to, you know, I'm going to use the word hijack, which, you know, is an aggressive choice, but I think the idea is going to be made clear, right? The way capitalism works by making money is through repeat business, repeat customers, and people who just buy a thing are not going to buy as much, but when you're buying experience or feeling, oh, well, you know, welcome to drugs. Welcome to fucking drugs. That's dopamine hit. We can see this in so much in the modern age. Before things like Pokemon Go and Candy Crush, right? We'd all the microtransaction games and the, or you know, games where you had to buy, pay to win, and especially with games like this, there is the microtransactions, which, you know, you're chasing a feeling. And relating this to my personal journey is that's what I was using a lot of Pokemon Go. I was really chasing a feeling of feeling good or satisfaction of, you know, getting a shiny, doing something, accomplishing. Because it is, you know, it is in a way an accomplishment. It's no feat of, you know, crazy making a difference in the world, but, you know, you have to go through 400 Pokemon, clicking and going out and trying to find something, which is similar to if you were to, like, you know, explore the world. So, in a way, it's RNG. It's kind of like gambling. It's like, you know, same thing with Magic the Gathering, which I'm very intimately familiar with. You know, opening the packs, going for the lottery cards. When I was more into the Magic, they had released the Expedition series and later Invention series and Zendikar and Kaladesh. And I'm saying Kaladesh like that because it is an India-based theme plane. And I think that's how the intent was meant to be said. Anyways, a little magic lore for you. Lore drop there. Now we think, okay, so Klopp. Experience is created by things. Yeah, and that's what Starbucks sells. Starbucks is not selling great coffee. I think we have to be very cognizant and just transparent in our discussion of what we are buying when we buy things. You know, that Starbucks is not some great coffee. I will stand on this hill. Starbucks is quality Arabica. That goes without saying, as is the whole specialty coffee industry at this point. Robusta, the taste is not there. And with Q Graders, which Starbucks does not even talk about, which basically Q Graders like sommeliers for grading the quality of a bean objectively in all the various categories of, you know, how the taste comes across when you drink it. Like, you know, sommelier, but for coffee. And coffee is such a big industry that, of course, this makes sense. But Starbucks' coffee is not, I would not say some, you know, Pike's is, honestly, it's a very meh coffee. I personally would not pay money for a Pike's. At this point, I could pay for a dark roast. I could do a pourvoir of the blonde, but the Pike's, you know what? For me, no. But if you're getting it with like milk and sugar, honestly, at that point, it really doesn't matter what kind of coffee you're using. Which, there you go, is intendedly how it's served. Now, when you go to Starbucks, what do you coughing up for? You're coughing up for that consistency, the quality experience. And that is what Starbucks is making its money off of, that, you know, you remember the feeling of getting your thing every day, the friendly barista, the barista getting to know you, you are, feel like you're part of a community, you're part of something, and in a way you are, you know, you're Starbucks people, you got any Starbucks and it's kind of like you're part of a family, you're in a cult. That's, you know, there is a podcast called Sounds Like a Cult, and Starbucks was reviewed for one episode. And in ways it is similar to a cult. We have to, I think that is important to acknowledge the way Starbucks describes itself. You know, the mission values for the current one was, we want to inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup, one in neighborhood, blah, 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 at a time. It's stuff that's like, I can get behind that idea. I'm a very big proponent of experiences and having very good experiences, and especially with customer service and going above and beyond. I am a very, if you know me, you know I love to write notes and do little things like that. So that attention to detail is something I'm very, very excited about, of course. But Starbucks doesn't really give you those opportunities. You know, they say, okay, you can write on the cups and whatever, and not when you're really being encouraged or expected or facilitated to, you know, do the job of about two people for the wage of one. And that's interesting, right? Then now I'll switch gears a little bit. You know, another company that has also kind of gone this off the path of, I think, the OG would be Disney. So I think we can all kind of agree collectively as a culture, this is the cultural zeitgeist, as it were, that Disney's the magic, not so magical anymore. It's become too commercialized. The same thing with Starbucks. When something becomes so embedded in that corporate culture of America, like, you know, making money, profit, it's just that magic that, I think, the vision, right, similar to how Uncle Howie, we have Uncle Disney, who was envisioning this grand experience where you go to parks. And honestly, the experience is there. It is there, but it's, I feel, compared to what I was a kid, just everything costs money. There's so much. And I did go to LA Disney recently, and I really enjoyed that. I paid, right, whatever extra for the genie, whatever, lane. And it was, you know what, having the option to, like, save time, it's, in my opinion, that's always going to be worth it. Something worth paying a little extra for, because time you can't get back. So that was that. I think there is some of the magic, and Disney is right more for the kids, and you know, that's really where the magic comes, because kids are doing that. But you know, maybe getting older and having done cosplay, that the whole magic of, you know, people being characters, it's become more, you know, easily accessible. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I've read the Disney book on their culture, and it reminds me in ways of Starbucks that there is a different word for the employees, the cast, partners, you know, they're part of a cast of a show. And, well, I mean, Disney is putting on a show, quite literally, and, you know, Starbucks wants to create an idea that we're, you know, partners. But, like, I guess for Starbucks, my other key idea that, you know, is that coffee can very much be a transitory job. It's not a career for most people. It's, you know, you kind of do it, you know, when you're 18 to the 24 range, you're in figuring crap out, and, you know, that provides a job for people in a pretty, you know, reasonable system. So creating those things is really important. So for me, it's, the creation of the memories and experiences is super important. So while I don't know if I'll be able to really find that kind of thing in a very corporate kind of position, right? One like corporation like Starbucks or Disney or whatever, maybe a smaller company might be better. I really did enjoy being able to get to know my customers when I was doing the card stuff, and being able to, you know, remember them and just, you know, like, you know, Martin, he likes these kind of foil cards, or Mike, he's really into these extra turn effect kind of cards, or stuff like that, where you are able to remember things about people and, you know, be like a merchant, as it were. I think that's That's kind of more the vibe I'm feeling. It's more of like a merchant where you know these things, you know things. That kind of position is kind of lost, really, to the modern age. It's interesting. We had a winter addendum in Starbucks where it was have a merchant mindset. It's like, bro, see those kind of things really don't bother me epically. I wouldn't say I'm like perturbed. It's more like, look, you're a corporate company trying to make corporate dollars because, you know, that's what you're doing. Okay, like, I get it. And let's not try and pretend to be like, oh, we're going to be merchants. Like, bro, like, that's, I think, part of the disillusion for me is that Starbucks pretends, or I perceive Starbucks pretending to, you know, try and be this thing, and there's this, you know, right, we're talking about cult culture. You know, that when I went to Origin, holy shit. Like, I'm going to be straight up with you. The experience I got there is so different from what I've experienced in the day-to-day. Now, could this be because I work at a Starbucks on the East Coast versus West Coast? I have heard that there is a bigger focus on partner. Partner is on the West Coast, right? That's close to Seattle. Okay, you know, maybe in this New York hustle and bustle culture, this is the natural byproduct of the Starbucks company. Very possible. We have to acknowledge the things that are possible, but man, I felt like I was living the dream, and I was like, you know what, Uncle Howie, you done paid for this. Take me, I'm gonna learn, I'm gonna be taking me the notes, I'm gonna be having me the trip of a lifetime. And if you ain't gonna wanna be done and listening to me, your employee, no problem. I'll take my all this knowledge and I'll bring it this ways. Which basically is what's happening here. Which to this, I think, is just very curious that, like, I'm a fairly talented person. Intelligence-wise, very fair. EQ, the one I've improved on the most, you know, in recent years. Younger me was not as emotionally intelligent. Still working on, you know, sometimes not being as blunt. That could be just part of my character, maybe a little stubbornness too. But I would say that, you know, for someone who's as diversely skilled as myself, I find it surprising Starbucks would not seek to make use of those talents in one of their partners. I've gone to college, so I have a degree. So objectively, right, I have the discipline to be able to learn things. Right, that's proven by my degree in college. And problem solving, because I have the math background from the engineering and all that. And in terms of learning language, Japanese, flexibility in terms of living in another country, and running my own business. Yet, even after being selected to go to Origin, Starbucks has made no effort to be like, hey, let's get you into a position because, like, you know, we want to promote our people. And I can't really come to an answer that satisfies me as to why this is not the case. Right, perhaps that is not what they're looking for in their people who they want to promote, right? Maybe they want to hire from without and not promote within, right? It's, you know, you look at Starbucks. Honestly, if you get a corporate Starbucks job, I'll tell you, those jobs are fucking looking pretty sweet. I see them on the boards. I met a lot of them on the trip. Honestly, because you're going to be doing the same stuff you do in another company, but for Starbucks. And the only difference being that compared to another company, you know, the money that is made off basically the work of your barista army. And Yeah, I mean, that, okay, but that's basically how it is. You could say the same for, like, you know, most corporate things like McDonald's and stuff like that. So I guess there is that difference. Right? If I was able to just be like a corporate whatever, Starbucks, it'd be great. And you're like, oh yeah, great culture. And maybe that's where this divide is as well, where Starbucks has this cool culture in the offices and we're in these smaller and more intimate environments, like, you know, the Casa en Alsacia and Tasting Lab and stuff like that, where you're able to. But then when you put this into cafes and you start, you know, just dealing more with people and stuff, then that's kind of where, like, there creates a chance or opportunity for the union stuff or partners to be satisfied, for people to be like, what the hell is going on here? You tell us this, but this is the reality I have to deal with. So, you know, just interesting how it's like the Starbucks experience is very, like, varied. And that's kind of turned more into a rant than about the creation of experience. But, you know, taking this back into our lives and, you know, something like theme parks, right? You're paying for the experience to have the ride and have memories. Because ultimately, your money, which was your time, is being converted into experiences as a human. And I don't know. I'm home now and I'm kind of losing my train of thought. The wind from the sails has ended for this siren. So I'll have to think some more and give you a second part to this, because I don't know. It's just like, for me, I think moving forward, you know, focusing on customer service and maybe how can we change it. It's like, we just sort of accept that people will be Karens and that's okay. It's like, right? Like, maybe we as a culture have to shift and be like, no, like, if you act like a Karen, you're not getting served. Get out of here. If you're rude, out. If you raise your voice, out. No one should ever be yelling or getting upset. And just letting people know, like, hey, we're happy to make the moment right. We're happy to work with you. We also ask that you act respectful, that you don't act like a Karen. I mean, use the word Karen just to be like, look, bro, like, you gotta be, act like a decent human. And that's sort of a bigger, you know, problem with the way the world is now, that it's so easy to lose our humanity because we're also folk. Well, right, it's natural, nature to get, you know, sucked into your own world life, you know, as you get older, especially your 30s and 40s, job, family, so many things happening. It's so easy to get sucked into stuff. You lose track. You know, people forget the text, and that's something I've had to deal with. That people don't message. I'm an initiator. It's just who I am, and it's okay. Like, that's a gift that I have, and something I can offer people. I'm very glad I have that opportunity. And with the Starbies, it's kind of like, well, Uncle Howard, I don't know. So changing customer service. I feel like that might be some topics I may want to bring up moving forward, that what are things that we as people who are committed to really good customer service, so things like, you know, remembering people's names, remembering things about people, engaging in those, like, cool little conversations, those, you know, edge moments that you get with customers, with coworkers, because, like, we're not robots, but we're so close to that AI sort of, you know, world where robots may be replacing certain kinds of jobs. That I'm calling this is my call, I'm calling it, and you have the recordings. Within 10 years, if not more, but I'm 10, robots are going to be starting to make some of the Starbucks drinks at some locations. It's going to be an experiment. It's going to be something Starbucks is going to try, because while Starbucks wants to offer the handcrafted beverage and, you know, all that, you know, you can modify the drink like a billion ways. You know what? Like, it's just going to make everything better, because, like, drink will always be correct. It can't be wrong, because you're just like, I ordered my drink, macchiato, boom, done. You change your things, bing, bang, boom, robot does it. Right? The drink can't be wrong anymore. So that's going to be like, well, was there an input error, or, you know, if ChatGPT takes your order, oh, baby. Oh, right. You speak into, like, the thing, the order box, and then, like, the robot does it, and you'd be like, it's wrong. Be like, well, our system is pretty good. You may have said something slightly different. That's okay. We'll get it, you know,
fixed. So, well, you'll see with that. I'll have more thoughts later. And anyways, until the next.